Hey, this week on Our Beer Could Be Your Life, Matt and I got a chance to catch a live show. We saw Jeff Rowe of Tied to a Bear and do a live performance at the once virtual venue at Dead Moon Audio in Somerville. What's up, Oz? How are you?
I'm doing well. We worked for months to try to get this set up, and we finally executed it. We didn't really do anything. We sat there and drank beer and talked, but the people who actually did it, well, that was amazing.
We had our producer Dennis here. Hello, Dennis.
Hello.
Live in the studio for this performance, which is pretty cool. It was kind of like seeing a live show, albeit from several rooms away. But Jeff performed like five or six songs. We captured that in the Once Virtual Venue channel from our friends at Once in Somerville. Met some new friends from Treebeard Media who hung out with us and, pretended we were professional for the span of the time we were talking to Jeff, and we got pretty deep with Jeff, actually.
Yeah, there was a lot of good conversation about why he hates New England IPAs, which
Don't know if he ever said that, but we talked a lot more about cream ale and brown ale.
it felt heavily implied then,
It
if
was
nothing
definitely
else.
implied.
Listen, I'll let you like sales guys in on a little secret from the production side of breweries. We all hate New England IPAs. All of us. We all do.
So you're telling me that the head brewer of a place wouldn't be thrilled having to make like seven of them for his eight lines?
Listen, I'm not a head brewer, but absolutely
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely an interesting conversation. When we started talking to Jeff, he was the proprietor and brewer at Winter Hill Brewing. And when we started talking like last summer about doing this set, that's how I knew Jeff. That's how I met him. And by the time this whole thing started, he had parted ways with the company. So we talk about that. Talk about his time to Harpoon. I don't know. Jeff has a lot of really interesting ideas about what albums are what beers and vice versa. And I don't know. I had a lot of fun sitting listening to him and kind of going back and forth with him. And it was definitely a deep conversation, for sure.
His beer branches out to a full album as opposed to the just like songs that I sometimes can associate stuff with. It reminds me of like sitting when I first got Bitches Brew from Dogfish Head, and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna listen to all of Bitches Brew, like drink Bitches Brew, and like that just it feels like it's stuck in that instead of the like hyper, I listen to one song from one thing and I'm moving on kind of feel that exists now.
Yeah, and I don't know how deep you got into it, but he did allude to a notebook he has where he keeps note of all of these different beer and album pairings. I did think it was really funny. He referenced Jawbreaker as mainstream, air quotes. Like that's not that mainstream in the punk rock world, maybe. But yeah, I think that was that made me chuckle. Then again, I guess Cream Ale's quote mainstream as well too. So I think it fits.
Just at Winter Hill for a while and in Rochester, New York. That's it.
Yeah, and so anyway, I think we're going to link to that live set. So what we've got here is our interview with Jeff, which references that set. But you can still check that set out at the Once Virtual Venue channel. And we'll link to that in the show notes so you can check it out. I think it's four new songs and one song off of their last album, True Places,
He
which.
played no encore. Think, you know, what,
Yeah.
obviously, he has to play no encore at a set to no one. So, you know, that just makes sense to end it like that.
I didn't get a chance to reference this when we were sitting with him, but like I took his set list. He wrote his set list on the back of a Yahtzee scoring sheet.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I was like, I'm gonna take this. And that was like the circle. I've always been too afraid to do that at an actual show. I'm like, I'm taking it. There's no one else here. We're the only audience for this. It's
As
mine.
someone who loves board games, I'm a little shocked I didn't check his Yahtzee score.
I have it. And I believe he signed a J Pizzle. So yeah, very, very exciting stuff. That'll be a future follow-up episode where we play Yahtzee live for our listener.
That'll be in the future Patreon.
Oh yeah, sure, sure. Hit it up. But right now you can support Once for Virtual Venue by smashing that subscribe button on their YouTube channel. And they have a Patreon and a bunch of ways, cool stuff. They have like a lot of underwear you could buy on their website if you are so inclined for banana hammock or otherwise, emblazoned with Once logo. I do miss that venue. I will say that half of that venue, including the soundboard, is hanging out in our brewery in Framingham right now. So we're looking forward to whatever's next from those folks.
I will say that the underwear is new and not leftover artist underwear from Once, just in case anyone was wondering.
You will say that, but we have no control over that. So
fair.
We would hope. All right. Cool.
Enjoy the show.
Snippet of a three-chord craft that bled out my heart. I needed nothing else to sustain but a catchy chorus and a brash refrain, and it bled out my heart. Now my ears are ringing, but I long for just one more song. If I never hear a word again, well, this will all...
Welcome to Our Beer Could Be Your Life, our post-show commentary with Jeff over here about beer and music and kind of where they intersect. I am Matt Oz. With me is...
I'm Joe Conley. Hello. We're here live at Dead Moon Audio in Somerville, courtesy of our friends at Once Virtual Venue and Treebeard Media. Hi, friends, and our friend Dennis, the producer, menacingly stroking his beard in the background under a mask. Thank you, Dennis.
Jeff, appreciate you. We are so excited to be sitting here with you. It was so amazing to see live music. Unlike our people at home, we got to be within like 10 feet of you, which is just amazing.
Thanks for having me.
I mean, it's just like the awesome. Best thing to get to hear a guitar get strummed that isn't me doing it.
Yeah.
It's actual like music being played.
That was the closest thing I've gotten to a live show in probably like a year, I guess. So.
Yeah,
that was great.
We were talking minutes ago. It's 50 weeks for me. It was at Once. I remember the date, the show,
months.
Not 12 months. Yeah, we're not quite there. And it was really, I mean, we love what you do anyway, but it was really moving to see you perform to this audience that was not giving you a lot of applause. You were calling out for it, but they were
I heard
silent.
very little
they
applause when it came down to it.
Just the thousands of people who are out there. Yeah. But yeah, it was awesome. That was really, it was really a great
Thank
time.
You.
It was amazing. So Jeff, our guest here, Jeff Rowe, singer-songwriter, singer, guitar player, tied to a bear.
Mm-hmm.
You own a record label.
Yes. Sound Investment Records.
Sound Investment Records.
It's my best friend and myself. We own a tiny label that we're like trying to propel into the ether, I guess. But yeah.
A noble venture to start that in the middle of a COVID crisis, but you know, that's great. You also are currently making hot sauces, Rose Apothecary.
Yes.
tongue firmly in cheek for that guy.
I know. Yeah, I make, fermentation has always been a thing that I was interested in. So making hot sauce is fun and, I'm just like trying to like do like, you know, I'm basically like bootlegging hot sauce. That's pretty much where I'm at.
So. Smokey and the Bandit Part 4.
It's not that dissimilar when you think about it. Yeah. It's a, I also like that I'm bootlegging it.
Yeah.
And I'm throwing that out into the ether. Everything I'm doing is illegal.
Illegal hot sauce. Yeah. Get it now.
Come at
me. Cops don't watch YouTube. So you're safe. You are safe.
But you mentioned fermentation, and also, you know, you have a pretty strong fermentation background in beer. That's how we kind of know you. We know you as a brewer at Harpoon for how long?
I think I want to say like maybe eight years. Yeah.
8 years in the cellar.
I'm awful with time, but yeah.
Yeah. And most recently, Winter Hill Brewing.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Which... we have enjoyed many of your fine beers.
Thank you. That was a startup. I'm no longer involved with that, but it was learning how to like build a business from like the ground up was awesome, especially with like a friend of mine. And so it was like a lot of like a lot of learning there, but yeah.
And I got to drink a lot of cream ale there, which is not something I get to do
Fact,
much.
Yeah.
So I was very happy to have pitchers of cream ale,
yeah.
Which I don't know if I was the only one who did that because occasionally it was off the menu after a while, but I definitely would support it when it was there.
We had this weird distinction where like we would sell cream ale and brown ale out there, and like nobody that I know of, like, and I would talk to other brewers would like, I'd be like, we just sold all out of our brown ale. And they'd be like, how? Nobody wants any part of brown ales. But like somehow I think it's like the kindness of the local folks were like, you know, they were like, you know, like some real, like, especially Winter Hill is like, it's people on people on people. So it's like, you know, it's a very like hyper populated place.
Yeah.
So
The last time I had a brown ale at Winter Hill was talking to you, watching some horror slasher movie on one TV, the startup XFL on another, right before COVID shut us down.
Right.
And just
right.
We're chatting about brown ale and like, yeah. It just was an amazing, amazing day
yeah.
Before all hell broke loose and the world ended.
That was that was something I was a part of that I was really proud of, but I'm like 1000% not a part of anymore.
Yeah, do you want to talk about not being a part of something that you helped create and like what
yeah,
what that's like?
Yeah.
Because I mean, everything we talked about is kind of speaks to your creative endeavors, and I think we want to talk a lot about, you know, what it's
yeah.
like to create something, but to create it and then walk away from it seems like it must have been a really like big decision for you.
There's a lot of nuance there. I think mm-hmm. like we talked about before we were recording. There are people at that business that I care about deeply. So I'm like, want to be careful with my words because sure. like they have a livelihood and they are wonderful creative folks that are like literally keeping that business afloat. But there's kind of like something that happens when you cross the art aspect with the, for lack of a better term, like uber capitalist aspect.
Yeah.
And I think I fell on the former, and so without trying to say anything, without trying to like put anybody under a bus or whatever, that place became a spot for me that was untenable for me to be creative. But there are still people that work there that
yeah.
are awesome and deserve they're a small business,
yeah.
like so. Any small business, they deserve. They should be paying their rent too.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you know, it's always been that place for me is biking over Winter Hill and getting there is like a reward for getting over.
All right, I'm actually really thankful that you said that because I always thought like when it came to Winter Hill, I always thought like it. We were like a reward.
Yeah.
Cause you couldn't get there. Like there was nothing that like, there was that one bus line that dropped you off somewhere, but like most know. Folks had to like really like put in an effort. So if, like if you were at Winter Hill, to have a beer, like chances are pretty good. You like put in an effort and that brewery put in an effort to have you there. So like, that was like symbiotic. I kind of adored that.
I thought you guys always did a great job of being like part of the community. Obviously, you know, you were there for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, it seemed
yeah.
like. I mean, that was the purpose. Like you were there for people to stop into.
Totally.
And be taken care of when they
yeah,
wanted
to. And I hope that, honestly, I hope that not to throw shade, but I hope that they do that further. Like, but I have no input on that. Like their own thing. So,
well, I mean, you put creativity into the world and music and beer and, you know, you can stop playing a song or you can, you know, you can walk away from a song. You can also walk away from something you create and it's a very like ballsy choice to do that. But like, I respect that you were able to make that choice and, you know, continue with like the act of creativity.
Totally.
In different
forms, yeah, and honestly, to be clear, like I mean I walked away from that because it was like the right thing to do, but also like the people that owned the brewery were there was, again, it was untenable. Like, I was not, like, that would not have been a choice of mine. I don't want that to be, like, known that I, like, walked away for fun or, like, I was like, I have a different thing to do. I would have stayed there. So, but.
Yeah, that's.
It's a weird thing to kind of, like, traverse. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's, I still think it's, you know, it's definitely thoughtful of you to be aware of that. I don't think we're always aware of ourselves in situations and like where we are heading in any given situation. So I think it's interesting to see that. I mean, I think, you know, you talk about drinking cream ale and brown ale in a place. I think that one thing that was really cool about that place is that it was of the community and it felt like an outgrowth of the community that was there and not something that was just dropped in from, you know, from downtown Boston as like a beachhead of some new development. It felt like it was like grew out of the place where it existed.
That was always the goal. I mean, the goal for a place like that was to be informed about like our community and to find ways to be not just like capitalistic, but to be like, to have a role, knowing full well that you're a part of like a gentrification of an area. So like that's like that is also like not an easy thing to, and I'm sure they're still dealing with that. But for me, it was more about what role do we play here? Cause you can't just like, you can't just set up, I mean, you can if you're an asshole, but you can just set up shop and do whatever you want and find an area viable for you on a capitalistic level. And I'm sure that people do that all the time, nonstop. But my initial goal with being a part of that business was to be the opposite, which I can't vouch for anymore. But it was like the opposite. But, and I'm sure that there's still... I hope they're still doing their thing.
Yeah. I mean, you guys provided a lot of jobs in that community, did a lot of good things for that space, which is obviously very helpful. Put on some nice acoustic punk shows that choke up after their residency show.
I know. That was great, right? I mean,
just everything about that was fantastic.
So. Lots of like drunk Sunday afternoons.
Yeah.
Which was wonderful.
The best part. Yeah. Showing up on a Sunday and then there's some like, you know, like Sam's playing acoustic guitar and you're just like, just get to watch a crazy show that
I literally watched some of my I don't know how you put it, but like I would say like peers, but like that gives me a lot of credit, but like a lot of my peers that I
you just say friends,
my
you
friends,
say
okay,
friends,
we'll go friends. I watched a lot of my friends that I adore their songwriting play in that building, and that was a building that we started, and for me that was like this like kind of apex moment. Where I was like, I'm literally watching my friend play these beautiful songs at the bar that we built, and they're drinking the beer that I made. And it was like, there's so much there that like, it's almost hard for me to unpack it now, but it's pretty sweet, I guess is what
and no one can take that away from you. That happened, that you helped create that space and create it. And you're still helping create right now and just in a different way. So it's cool to see that, that through line. So,
yeah.
We talked a lot about the songs you were just playing and we talked in the other room as we were watching and discussing how we like felt about like live music and what this felt like. And, what is it about a song that is like making a beer? Why is a beer like a song? Why is a song like beer? Like, can we talk about that?
Yeah, that's like a really good. That's like,
I stole that from you.
That's a question. I feel like I should take like a week to unpack that.
I mean, we were talking about before this started. I feel like
you've been okay. All right, yeah. All right. After this too. Wait, is that like a loaded question? Is that what that is? A loaded question? Is that what people will say when they say loaded question?
That was supposed to be like a softball.
I think they're synonymous. In the sense that it's all like ingredients and it's all like intentional. Like if you're going to do something proper, like you can make a beer and you can make just like whatever beer. Like you can be like, I want to make a Pilsner. That's great. Like I back you. I like a Pilsner. That's fantastic. Or you could make a Pilsner with intention and you could find out why that beer means something to you and you could create that. And then in the off chance that that comes across to somebody else. That is just literal fucking gold. And I think the same thing applies to songs. Like, where you're trying to like piece together things, or I am, and sometimes I never know what, where they're coming from or whatever, but, when they do land, like, and then they land with somebody else after you've played the song, I think that's like, I don't know, like, I don't know how you could ask for anything better than that. Like, and it doesn't matter if you like sold records or like, if your beer, if you got rich off of your beer or what, I like, none of that matters. Like, but if it resonated like with somebody, like, you literally did something, you climbed a fucking mountain. And yeah, I think that's pretty fucking cool. Like, and like, I like, and anybody that like kind of fucks with that notion, it's just a poser.
Sometimes the like best compliment you can get for anything is just from like one of your friends being like, "Hey, I meant to tell you, this thing is amazing." Like, and that's just such a like genuine thing when it like just sort of pops up. It's not like forced. It's not like right after. It's just they remember it and it is something that they wanted to tell you.
I had a friend that drank one of my beers once, and he's a very kind person, but he was like, "I taste like all of like what you're doing here. Like, you know, like, this came out of like, you were doing this for a reason." And like, if you can get someone to drink a beer that you made and they like can literally like, or like read a story, like, come on. That's amazing. Like, it's the best someone feeling. Gets the intention that that should be worth it. And if that's not worth it, I would argue that you should maybe do something else.
So, speaking of creating things, we heard some new songs. When you're creating stuff right now, are you thinking about just like, you know, obviously before Tied to a Bear, you're playing loud. You're practicing with your bands. You're playing those. Now you're writing a song with probably your acoustic guitar over there in your living room and thinking about it. Are you thinking about where it goes from there? Or are you just writing that song in your living room and being like, "Well, these are the songs I'm playing right now, and later on I will translate this to a bigger thing"?
I think I'm like stunted. if I'm to be like completely honest, like, yeah. I don't know what to do with art or anything while we're dealing with this, and part of me is like wants to just like support art like in any way possible, whether it be folks that create it, folks that already supported it or built an industry on supporting it. I love what we're doing tonight, and our friends that are, you know, sponsoring this. But there is something there that like you lose a bit, in my opinion, when it comes to like creating, when it comes to a moment like this. Like, I think everybody expects everybody to be creative, and I get that. Like, I think that's awesome, and some people are, but also like we generally like en masse, I guess, when I say we, thrive on the notion that we won't get to create, you know, like, like tomorrow might not happen, but we're living like Groundhog's Day. So I don't have a perspective on creating, and I hope, and somebody else could probably be much more articulate than I am. But like, for me, I have nowhere to go with it at all. Like, 'cause it just seems like another day. Every day seems like another day. And I don't have any input that I didn't have the day before. And I only created because I had input because this day was fucked. This day, you know, this day, you know, it's like, yeah. you have moments that shape you. Nothing about this year is shaping me at all.
That's really interesting to hear you say that. I would think that somebody who is used to having a band behind him and is used to that experience would feel like the absence of all of these things is a different shape, like a different challenging, bigger thing, you know, like, you know, you're creating through it. Like,
yeah, it's counterintuitive. I mean, yeah. For me, I mean, I think that if you talk to other people that create, they would tell you something totally different. I think they'd be like, "This has been a wonder. or whatever, but you know, or like finally I don't have to talk to people, or like, you know, like all that tracks. Yeah. Like I get that, and like, and I just wasn't the type. I mean, I created songs literally through like the chaos of like the downtime of like working 40 or 50 hour weeks, and so I don't necessarily feel like the I don't feel this weird drive to like do much, because it feels like we're in stasis. I write fiction, but again, that's weird.
Even during Groundhog Day, Bill Murray slowly learned a lesson.
I know. Well, I mean,
you're getting there.
I mean, we're getting. Yeah. I'm not saying it's all bad. I don't want. I don't want to be like. I mean, I think that a lot of artists are doing wonderful things. I just don't think that this bodes well for like someone like me. Like, I don't get any creative drive from us all being miserable together, because I thought it was really like nice when I was just miserable alone.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my partner is a very kind person. She said to me early on, I was feeling some kind of like push for creativity, and I think she may have picked this up from somewhere, but there was something about like not putting pressure on yourself. Like, there's no like, you know, just because you wanted to write the Great American Novel and now you have the time to do it doesn't mean that there's any extra pressure to do that thing, right? So she said that to me early on, and it had almost an opposite effect, where I was like, okay, well, now there's no pressure. Maybe I can start dipping my toes into some stuff. That really affected me, but I mean, it sounds like you also get a lot of inspiration from the people around you. And like,
I get a lot of inspiration from my friends, my partner. I think like, the day-to-day winds up being a weird thing, because like before we were very passive, like I was passive. Where days would just go by and you'd just be like, whatever, like it's another day or it's whatever. But I don't know. I also see like my partner and like my friends making like crazy strides to like live within this and to be and to strive within this, and like it makes it really hard for a nihilist like me, because like all I want is to tell you that all of this is for naught. Yeah. Like literally, like, and it doesn't matter and you're just dust. But then I see my friends doing like they're raising kids, like raising like kind kids, and like I see my partner, like, who's like taking an opportunity to like learn a new language, and like there's like so much there that is inspiring, but they're just not the things that were inspiring before. I was inspired by like, you know, high art, or like you know, I wanted to write the next, like you said, the next novel, because I was like inspired by that. I'm not inspired by that shit anymore. I'm inspired by people that just like literally get by, because I'm struggling to do that. So to see people do that like is a fucking marvel.
I mean, we're sitting here in a studio talking to each other and trying to have a real conversation. And I think that nobody up here thought that this is what we would be doing a year ago. So, like, I feel totally, you, man. Yeah. Like, yeah.
I didn't mean to go dark.
Sorry. No. I don't. I think it's totally fair. I mean, like, I don't feel comfortable talking to people. I play bass. I want to be in the background. I want everyone else in front of me doing some shit, obviously. Right? Like, but, like, here... getting to just like have a real conversation, I think is, I think it's moving in a very different way. You know, I think it's, and I'm happy to have all the people who are in this room and you guys together.
This is a lucky thing to even be able to do anything these days. Yeah.
I don't know where cameras are, but this is like the social event of the year. Yeah, it's fucking awesome.
This is the most people I've seen.
Can I do that?
Hi.
I mean, despite the bleakness you tried to portray, we're all actually pretty happy.
I wasn't shooting for bleak. I was shooting for honest, but like honesty is like pretty fucking bleak.
So the best stories are everyday honest stories, and that's kind of where you're saying you're noticing art now, rather than some high concept. You're just seeing the everyday mundane as beautiful art, which I don't know if I'm putting words in your mouth.
No,
but that's like a lot of things that I see is just like everyday existence now is like you have to find that most beautiful part of it.
Well, I feel like your life is like, and not to put words in your mouth, but your you work so much, like if you're gainfully employed or whatever, or just like employed and suffering because you're employed. But you spend so much time doing that that you forget about the kind of basic tenets of like of being a human, where it's like you stop regarding people for what they are, like someone that writes a song, someone that writes a poem, someone that writes a short story, someone that, like, you know, it's like you stop regarding that because you don't have time for it. Now you have all the time in the world for it. And whether you regard it or not, that's fine. But that winds up being the measure of who you are. And I know that's fucking deep.
But I thought you were going, like, life is like a box of chocolates for a second.
I'm sorry. Like... You want to talk about music?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, the transitions here, Jeff. Come on.
Sorry.
Seamless.
Yikes.
Seamless.
So,
yikes.
The question that got us there was beer as a song. And I think your songs frequently touch on stories, or, you know, the song No Encore finished your set with, you kind of spoke a bit to that story. I think you also talked about like putting something into the world and having it speak for itself a little bit in that, which I thought was also, I think, what as brewers we intend to do, try to do, and try to have that beer speak.
Like I hope said, so, yeah.
Like, tell a story. But what I love about that is that, like, a lot of times when I hear people talk about beer, they're like, oh, this beer tastes like that. You know, like, or this is, and, like, you try to, like, get it a noun or an adjective or something that is, like, singular. But what I like about good beer is, like, beer that, like, takes you, like, the mouthfeel, the flavor moves, the, like, you know. What is, like, a cream ale for you as a story? Like, how would you, like, wrap your head around the idea of a cream ale as a story, as a song? Like, what is the song that it's telling? Or if you want to back out a cream ale, I know you have a list.
No, I'm happy to go with cream ale.
So let's go cream ale.
Yeah. I mean, cream ale make it's like, that's, I don't know where to go with this. Cream ale, it makes me, is jovial to me.
Okay.
So, like, I don't know, like, it's like reading a, oh shit, like a Sarah Grand novel, like a detective novel. It's like it's like it's there. It's there for you. Like,
okay.
We're not challenging each other here.
Like, it's a formula that you know.
We're not trying to, like, I'm not trying to challenge you with a cream ale. I'm literally putting a beer in front of you that's, like, completely drinkable, and if you want it, cool, and if you don't, like, fuck off to the next New England IPA. That's fine. But like that's,
we're getting to the heart of something with that comment.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Sorry.
No. Not my heart. No.
But I mean, for me, those beers they do speak of competence. For me, like, I guess as, like, a brewer in the industry, like, to me, like, you don't make a cream ale or we'll say, like, a Helles lager or, like, whatever. Those are things that are incredibly hard to make, I believe, and I think they're really hard to make well. You can dismiss the cream ale thing as, like, Jenny Cream or whatever. And, like, Jenny Cream is also wonderful, by the way. But, like,
no argument.
Those
no
beers argument. Are, like, ridiculously hard to make. And they're, like, and yeah, they're not your New England IPA. But they are, like, hard beers to make that very few people like. So that goes back to being, like, back to, like, records, or it's like,
yeah. So what's a band that is that everyone should like? What band fits that? I mean,
Crimp Shrine is a band I love, Jawbreaker would, I guess, I could go to Jawbreaker on that one, but
okay,
but I think a lot of people love Jawbreaker, so I think they're essentially like a proxy mainstream band, but when you think, I actually now want to have a band for each style of beer. So, and I wasn't prepared for this.
Whole other exercise.
So,
this is why every time we had a conversation earlier, we'll save it for the live conversation. We're gonna.
Oh no!
Now hit him with
this.
The
is
hard
literally
questions.
Gonna keep me up at night.
that's what we're here for.
Husker Du would be cream ale.
Sorry.
No
so
doubt.
Straight into the point. No artifice. No production value for most of
yeah
most of those records, just
but so good,
yeah.
great and to the point. I like that.
Okay.
It makes sense.
Sorry if I took us on a tangent, but...
I mean, this is all tangent.
You can tangent on Husker Du and Cream Ale for however long you're
want. Talking to the right crew on that. All tangent. Sure.
Yeah.
You said you have a notebook of albums that are beers.
I have notes in my phone.
Notes in your phone.
Yeah.
So
21st century
Trapper notebook. Keeper for adults. Yeah.
I've long tried to, because of the parallel, I guess I won't go too far into it, but the parallel of beer and music to me is essential, like in understanding where the like beer has like gone as far as like music has gone. And if that doesn't make sense, I mean more like the essential records that you hear, like people are like, you know, like the Clash has given them enough rope, or early Specials records that people were like, whatever. That's like a lot of the beers that you wind up having, that people are like getting into it, but they're like, I'm not like necessarily into that, but it came from this. But then they try it and they're like, oh yeah. Oh sure. Like, you know, so to me, like there's a huge parallel between that. But I think that's also just me being like, I don't know what else to do with like how to parse out like how I feel. So I mean, I could be like totally wrong.
No, it's like the essence of like making mixtapes is like throwing together like songs you like that go with feelings that you like. You like give it to somebody. It's the same idea. Like I remember like drinking Smutty Nose Old Brown Dog and like listening to records in my bedroom when I was like 19 or 20, when I would first like buy beer. That I would like buy like good beer and like pretend to like it, and it wasn't good, but I like tried to drink craft beer because I found that if I went into a package store and bought like a 6-pack of Smutty Nose instead of a 30 rack of PBR, he wouldn't question my age. So like that was my loophole to get beer when I didn't have a fake ID, was just buy craft beer, and it didn't taste great because I wasn't used to it, and eventually I got used to it. Now I love it, and like that's why I remember listening to like Modest Mouse records and like a Smutty Nose beer and stuff.
I just didn't have I felt like I didn't have a roadmap. I think it was, is like what it comes down to for me. Like there was like, you know, I grew up in a small city, and the folks there were, I would argue, less than kind when it came to being like trying to like be yourself or whatever. But yeah, I mean, that to me, that tracks. Like it's like, to me, like there's like a lot of like, there's a lot of yourself in records, because like you listen to records the same way you read books, and you find yourself in it. And when you find yourself in it, it's indelible. Like you can't like let that go. Like that's your book. That's record. And like that's to create something that meaningful, that should be enough for anybody, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I also think that there's a point where you are unable to distinguish between yourself and the art, and like I think in it sounds like in your case, and certainly in my case, like punk rock and that entering into my brain at such an early age became like a blueprint for how to do things, and it became like a way of looking at the world more than it was just like three chords played fast. It was like something else beyond just music. And so like, it just becomes part of your chemistry, whether you like it or not, like it's just there. So like how you see the world, you're going to see it through what you know and who you are. And that's,
I remember the first time I heard like Smashing Pumpkins, it was like from my sister's room. And like, I never heard chords played like that, 'cause it was like dissonant and like, it was like weird. And I was like, what the fuck? but then I also heard Propagandy, punk band. And I was like, I never heard, outside of the Dead Kennedys, I'd never heard a band be so kind of like officious, I guess, like with like they were like, we are political. And if you're not political, then you can fuck off. Go somewhere else. Listen to Blink-182. Get out. And I loved that shit, because it was like, I loved it. They were like, it was just so divisive. Like to me, that was like they were challenging me. And I felt like I was up for that challenge.
I sent Propagandy the other day to a friend of ours who is schooled in heavy music and like loud music, but not specifically in the punk rock genre. And she was like, this is just not for me. And I'm like, you know, I understand that. Like, there's a lot of words shoved into this.
There's a lot. They're like novellas.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of those albums come with and like, they're like reading lists.
And there's no song with that. That's the other thing about like, that's important about that. A band like that is like, which is what we're talking about with like beer even like, it's not without intent. And to me, I am sold on intent. Like if you make a beer or a product, I don't really necessarily care what it is. I might have some moral objections if there's certain things involved, but like, if you make it with intent and you care about it, like I'm sold, I'm there, I'm with you. I want to be a part of it. I want to buy it or like, you know, but like, cause I want to believe that the world is full of people that have intent. And they do that on that level. That to me is like super important.
Yeah. That'll definitely get me in the door at the very least.
Yeah.
Just caring about something is a nice first step.
Yeah. I would say so. I mean, doing anything with intent, I mean, it reminds, it's like probably the most elementary, like, fiction reference you can make, but like it's a Holden Caulfield moment, like wanting to believe that people like do the thing that they say they're going to do and they do it for the reasons they say they're going to do it. You know, that's, it's rare to find that in a lot of, I mean, probably 95% of the beer world, honestly, but like the 5% or 10% of the craft beer world occupies, even in that, there's
that's the a subset of people. That's the reason why that Melville quote is like, means a lot to me. It's like it's not on any map. True places never are. It's like it's a, when you think about it, it could be just like kind of a docile like comment about whatever, but when you really think about it, it's pretty meaningful, I think.
We were talking about your song Melville before we got on, and about True Places. Mm-hmm. The name of the, was it 2018 Tied to a Bear album, I think.
I believe you.
Yeah. because that quote got me thinking about once and how once was and is a true space, like a true place, a place that, you know, if you close your eyes and you open your eyes and you're there, you know where the fuck you are and what you're doing. And like, it's like, it is the space that it occupies, and it is beyond the space it occupies. It's this space that we're in now. Mm-hmm.
And well, if you read, like, you'd read Moby Dick, but if you read that book, if you really think about it, there's, like, and I'm probably being overindulgent about what I thought about that book, but that is a very cold and calculated book. Like, there's very little that speaks to, like, anything personal. But then there's that one line, like, tucked in that book that is, like, literally just, like, severing. So
I take no credit. He's that's why reading, it kills me. He's reading Moby Dick.
Gives you the tiniest little sliver to hang your hat on, and that's it.
But then you wonder all you're allowed. Then you wonder when you read that line if you've have you fucked up? Like, were you not reading this properly? It's like I feel like he had a way of writing that was like, and I don't think that was what was like intended, but he had a way of writing where it's like, why do I gotta get halfway through a fucking opus to just like decide if I read it wrong? like that's like James Joyce shit. Like he intentionally wrote shit hard because he was an asshole, and we know that.
Yeah, it's
writing. It's great
writing you like all over the place. Yeah. And eventually maybe you'll figure it out.
No, he was like, yeah, these people are writing to make you suffer.
I have to throw in a shout out to the town I grew up in. Dedham has the James Joyce Ramble, in which people stand along the side of the road in this 10K race and cosplay as James Joyce, reading James Joyce to the runners. I've never understood what it's about or why.
Yeah, I don't. Just, I've worked it a few years. I do not understand why James Joyce is connected cosplay. To Dedham, but
I don't know either.
From the same town?
No.
No, I just have had to work that event.
Okay.
Yeah. Handing people beer.
Cool. That's a tangent of a tangent of a tangent. But so, yeah. That's it. I don't want to dress up like James Joyce, but
that's fine. It's fine.
We were talking what on that
the idea of a true place for mm-hmm. you. Like what is a true place? And you, Oz had a question that I'm going to ask for you, unless you remember
Please
what I'm
do.
Talking about, is like the dive bar question. Or let me remind you of the question. So a true place. No. Like,
no, go ahead. I really like watching you folks argue together.
Yeah, we're figuring.
We're in this together. So
well, this is your. I'm just saying this is an Oz question. What a great question, Oz. So, like, is a dive bar a true place? And then, like, what is the dive bar choice for you? Where do you want to be drinking a dive bar right now instead of talking to two jabokes?
Oof. So I always thought that the notion of a true place was a weird, like, sentient spot, like, you know, like the moment where you're like you maybe lose a friend, or like there's something like the notion, like, what I guess when I think about it, this is going to be super highfalutin, but like,
get it.
It's about like that moment where like you've kind of like been relieved of your roadmap, like you're feeling like grief or you're feeling something. And I think that's a very true place. And I think that in the context of that novel, I think that's what he was trying to say, but I would have no idea what he was trying to say. But to me, yeah. I think he was trying to say that like a true place is like that moment where you're just like, everything's spinning, you're lost and you have no compass. And that's the first time that you realize that you're somewhere real. And I know that's highfalutin. That's what I get from it.
I think that's fair. For me, that would be like the night that the TAM reopened on New Year's Eve. I found myself there, definitely head spinning. So I'll read it that way. Yeah,
I went like too deep on that one. I know.
No, I think it's. I think
cut
it's,
it just deep enough. It's yeah. perfect. It's perfect. So I think to wrap this up, we really want to know what beer are you currently drinking now that you just want to defend to death? What is your favorite beer right now?
Oh, that's a pretty easy one. Maybe it's not.
This pause.
Well,
says
there's
that
a pause
because
I'm
easy.
Like now I'm thinking like, do I go like macro or?
I think you have to speak how you feel.
Yeah, I do. I've been drinking, when I can get it, Dutchess. And that is like a beer that I adore. And I realize that's not a beer that most people are into, but I feel like that's one of the most, like delicately nuanced beers on the market that you could possibly get for the price.
So that's just a Bourgogne, right? The,
yeah.
Yeah, Belgian
Duchess de Bourgogne.
Yeah. Duchess is
what do you think it is?
I don't know. I don't know if it's Burgundy or Bourgogne.
You're not going to say
Bourgogne or something.
Fair enough.
You just glossed right over it. I tried. Duchess.
Well, that's why I did that.
Yeah,
I've been kind of like delving back into the Belgian catalog, including like Chimay's and Saison DuPont is like one of my favorite beers. But the Duchess by far is like one of those things where every time I see it, I'm like, I have to. This or this is a gift to myself, and I just love how again, like, I love how delicate and nuanced it is.
I think that when it comes to beers like that, if you love those beers, if we're going to use our platform for beer for a second, it's like if you love the beer, you need to buy the beer, and if it's in a bottle, you need to buy the beer in a bottle instead of complaining that you can't find it. Like, you need to go out there and buy it and be the customer that you want to be. So
totally.
I appreciate you doing that.
I could do a
product placement.
I really like Springdale IPA.
That's not what. That's literally the beer you're drinking right now.
Literally drinking it right now. Sorry.
Don't apologize for drinking our beer. I think that's
No, I'm happy to do it.
Yeah. That's it's a great answer to the question. Is that only in bottles? I think.
That I know of. Yeah, it's in like the 750 format and the four pack.
Yeah. Well, I haven't had that beer in a long time. I'm going to drink one and think about
you. Oh, you should. What a treat, especially with dinner.
I'm going to drink it, and I'm going to watch your set on the internet. These folks just watched.
That sounds great.
In the future.
Okay.
Jeff, I think thank you for coming out, that we're doing this for once.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for going
Dead
deep.
Moon Audio, thank you for producing this for us.
Treebeard Media, hello.
It's
Dennis.
Dennis.
Oh, there's Dennis.
Dennis.
Once Virtual Venue, we really appreciate you. We can't wait, like all of you, to be in a room, sweaty room together listening to Jeff or Tied to a Bear, whatever form you are going to take next. We're excited to see. Do you want to plug anything in your realm right now?
Just that I am an owner of Sound Investment Records, and we make, like, just like we put out killer records. If you're into that kind of thing,
how does one find Sound Investment? Just look up Sound Investment Records on the interwebs, and we'll find
it. I'm gonna be so terrible about that. I make hot sauce, and you wouldn't know about it unless you knew like my Venmo. But I'm local as fuck. So that's all I got.
Record label, illegal hot sauces.
Yeah, I know.
Appreciate
you,
man.
Yeah.
Well,
find him on Venmo.
Cheers, man. Thank you for thanks for being here tonight. Thanks for sharing stories and music. And
yeah, Jeff, we really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
Honestly.
Town's barking out. They need to know what's going on.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.
I feel like a shadow. I lost my sense of gravity again. That's why I keep to myself. Hey, why wouldn't I? That's why I keep to myself. Oh. Feel the loss of tomorrow, but I feel it today. I know that drags you down, so I just came here to say it's why I keep to myself. Hey, why wouldn't I? Why I keep to myself. Oh. Happiness wanes, we find what remains. So I came here to say I love you anyway. It's why I keep to myself. Hey, why wouldn't I? It's why I keep to myself.